Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for September 22nd, 2011. Well, I had the chance to attend a pre-screening of the movie Courageous recently, and never did Marshall McLuhan's phrase, "the medium is the message," ring true. Except for Courageous, the message is the medium. First, let me say that Courageous is a good film. It's not a great film, as I heard a theater goer say on the way out, but it is a good film. And compared to the producer's previous effort, Fireproof, this film shows growth and maturity. But it's still flawed. There's overacting and underacting together in key scenes. One of the sequences surrounding the main story arc carries on too long. At one point I was thinking, I get the point, let's get on with it. And towards the end, the director uses so many cut-to-black cuts that I thought I was watching a sketch comedy production. Hasn't he heard of a swipe? Well, still, the message of Courageous carries the film. The story of law enforcement officers struggling to find the balance between their roles as lawmen, husbands, fathers, and simply men is often drowned out by the message to be better fathers and men of God. Still, Courageous will accomplish its goal of challenging fathers to be better than good enough, as the main character said. Still, when the message becomes the medium, is it art? Personally, I prefer the approach where the medium is the message. And the question to my artist friends is, which one do you prefer and use? Well, what are your thoughts? Do you agree? Disagree? Send me your opinion via email to robert@selawministries.ca. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. And maybe we can begin a dialogue on this issue. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email address at the end of today's show. Top 40 from the self-titled EP by the group Havenstance. Since making the EP available for free download in April, the band's received more than 500 downloads, over 200 in the first 24 hours. Well, Havenstance came together as a band this past February after being asked to lead worship at a downtown Kitchener church. After the evening of ministry, the band decided to stay together, put out an EP, and have been performing and ministering ever since. My guest tonight is Havenstance guitarist and vocalist Mikey Fisher, who's with us in the studio today to give us some insight to the unique perspective and ministry of Havenstance. Good evening, Mikey.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, man?
Not bad. Now, is there more to the story about how Havenstance came together?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Havenstance is a name that's sort of been around for a couple of years. Our lead guitar player, Wes Landreau, has had tons of different guys in and out of the group and trying to make it go in a bunch of different angles. But as we stand today, we've only been in this group since February. And I think we're doing something just a little bit unique in terms of the way that we approach music, the way that we approach ministry, and the band as a whole.
So now, how did you yourself get involved? You said that there were guys coming in and out of the band. And so how did you get involved in this one?
Yeah, well, Wes had actually... they had had an original drummer for the band, and they had asked, I guess, online. They'd put up a posting saying that they were looking for a new one. Even before that, let me back up a bit. there was when the EP came out, there was only just a couple guys in the band. In that time frame, Wes was looking for a new lead singer. There was a kid from my youth group who I was working with out in Guelph in Lakeside Community Church, Lakeside Christian Fellowship Church, and we were the youth had sort of looked to me and said, "Mikey, you should really audition for these guys. They're a good band. You could be a good lead singer for them." When I went into that, I researched the band, looked into it, and started praying about it, and really didn't feel a strong sense that I needed to be jumping on that opportunity just yet. So I spent a few months just sort of praying it over and sort of praying for the band, hoping that they would find the members that they needed. I got a real strong sense one day that that it was time for me to jump back into the music scene. I went and looked up the band and found they'd already found a lead singer by the name of Cassidy Parlane from Hamilton. And so I thought, no, you know what? Maybe this wasn't for me. That wasn't the thing I was supposed to do. And then the next day, they put up a posting saying they were looking for a drummer. Well, drums being my second instrument, I thought I'd give it a try. Went down for the audition, and I was just awful at the drums. So they flipped some things around and said, well, how about we got this guy named John. We'll put him on the drums, put you on the second guitar, and let you sing. And we went out that, like you said, just a week and a half later to do that worship show, and it was absolutely great. So it was sort of interesting way that God brought that all together.
Now you're saying jumping back into music, and that there was a reason why you weren't involved in music, and that, which is a really fascinating part of your story. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. In August of 2008, I was called into a ministry with a team called Watermark. They are a group put together by a nonprofit group from the U.S. called Youth Encounter, which is very similar to YWAM or Youth for Christ that we have up here. They're an American-based Lutheran organization, and they sent me along with five, six other people out around the world to tour and proclaim the gospel and do that sort of thing. And it was an amazing experience. But about halfway through the year, I started feeling really sick, and I ended up coming home, had to leave the team early. I came home and found out in January of 2010 that I had stage 4 cancer. So I took a lot of time off of music, trying to figure out what was it that God was doing with me, to me, maybe for me. I wasn't really sure what was going on, and so I hadn't actually played any sort of significant music between that time of May 2009 and January 2010. I was always involved in my church worship team, of course, but it was very difficult for me to even want to do that at some points. Just a lot of confusion about what God had been up to.
And the physical aspects of battling something like that as well.
Yeah. Stage 4 cancer is no walk in the park, I tell you. Mm-hmm. I lost about 65 pounds. There's pictures of me lying in the hospital bed, and those photos are just terrifying. Just looking like a skeleton with some skin stretched across. It was really kind of surreal.
So in setting all this up and moving into Haven Stance, I found that you've got a really unique ministry. It's something that I think some bands wish they could be doing, and some bands are going, no, that's not where the Lord's called us to. So give us a bit of background on what Haven Stance's ministry is.
Sure. Well, we've decided from the get-go that we are going to put God at the head of this band and make sure that everything that we're doing is coinciding with Scripture, is coinciding with His call for our life. And what He's called us to do for this season of our life, at least, is to be out in the dark places and be that shining light. So we have sort of a cross-boundary ministry where we work within the church. We lead worship with different youth groups. We're actually leading worship this Sunday at Forward Baptist Church in the evening. In Cambridge, and we also go out into secular music scene. We just played Koi Festival last week, as well. You know, we're playing at the 515 Concert Club in Cambridge on October 20th. So we sort of try to jump back and forth between the secular music scene and the sacred music scene, and at the same time we bring the same songs to both scenes. So when we're leading worship and we drop How He Loves by John Mark McMillan or Chris Tomlin's Our God, we'll turn around and do the same songs while we're headlining at a metal show in the secular crowd, and just sort of rearrange the songs a little bit to make them appeal to a more secular audience. And we've actually got some great response on it so far. We've had a lot of kids who've sort of kept us up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in the different clubs, and you know, asking us why we would come out and do this sort of thing, and why we don't just sort of hide away in the safety and the comfort of the church scene. And it's just honestly, it's just because this is where God has called us to be. We are supposed to be this light that's shining in a dark place. So,
is it hard to keep that identity straight? I mean, from what I've heard of the band and listening to the EP, you know, you've got some really good chops there. I mean, it's some really good stuff. It would be easy for you guys to take off and develop into a secular act, you know, so like down here, not down here. Sixpence None the Richer and stuff like that actually went the secular route. Mm-hmm. But yet you're still trying to minister into the church. Is it hard to keep those identities straight?
It's not too bad. I do understand what you mean. Like there's so much opportunity that's offered on the secular side. And you know, a lot of people have told us if we make our message a little less overt and sort of compromise on that end, then more opportunities will come to us. And it's sort of that temptation, I mean, I won't say that it doesn't exist, but we're just very aware of it. And every time we sit down to write new songs, we actually just finished recording our second EP, which should be out by the end of October. And when we were sitting down writing those songs and God was just helping us flow with lyrics, everything we were saying we wanted to make sure was worshipful and scripturally sound first, and that was our priority. So, you know, on our end, we want to make sure that is something we're always keeping in the foreground, that people will know we are Christians first, this is a ministry first, and yes, they happen to play music.
Does anybody, you know, for example, like you said, you just did the Koi Festival, do you ever get people coming up to you and after listening to a set suddenly going, I didn't know you guys were Christians? Yeah, they were attracted to the music, and yet they didn't know that. And did you ever get any pushback because of that?
I find that when we finish up usually a set, we've taken moments between songs, and our lead singer Cassidy has said words like, "We are Jesus lovers. We stand up here in the name of Jesus Christ." So usually by the time we're done our set, people are well aware of who we are and where we stand. At the same time, I haven't really experienced too much of people, you know, be it clubs or be it other secular bands, say, you know, I don't want to work with you because you're a Christian band. There are some secular bands within the KW 519 scene right now who have been just a great support to us, who happen to be secular bands. But, you know, they're the ones who I know that I could pick up my cell phone, give them a call, and they'd be there for us for a show in a heartbeat. And it's not that. You know, I think a lot of people this day and age are looking at society and saying, well, every voice needs to have equal opportunity. So for that pluralistic society to turn around and look at me and say, well, you don't get a voice because you're a Christian, would actually be very hypocritical on their end. So,
yeah, and I've talked and blogged on that particular point for a long time. Listen, what we need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Haven Stance guitarist and vocalist Mikey Fisher. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Forgiven from the self-titled debut EP of the band Havenstance. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Havenstance guitarist and vocalist Mikey Fisher. You've got a couple of interesting things going on at the moment. You've mentioned a couple. One was the Koi Festival, which is just this past weekend. How did you guys get involved with that?
That was an insane bill. There's 150 bands that were out at that event. Some signed pro bands, others not. Koi stands for Kitchener, Ontario Independent Music Scene. So it was supposed to be sort of this gathering of not just bands that were still independent, but some bands that had come up and through the independent scene to become something much larger than that now. We got onto that bill because Kurt and Corey Crossman, the owners of Ark and Civilian here in Kitchener, great guys, and I've known them for a while now, and they've wanted to sort of get on board and do what they could to help out. You know, with my situation with cancer, we were looking at doing some charitable T-shirts so that we could say, you know, that our proceeds are going back and through into the Canadian Cancer Society. We also, as after sitting down and talking with them and them listening to our stuff and seeing our track record and the way that we do our work is a little bit different, and they wanted to help us out as much as they could. So they've actually offered us an endorsement now. So Havenstance is on the ARC clothing roster, which means that they, because they are the ones who put Koi Fest together, sort of asked us if we would mind coming out and doing up a set for them out at the Rum Runner Pub.
Now, in terms of, you mentioned a couple of things there, the whole endorsement thing and stuff like that. I guess, and the independent scene, I think one of the things that people don't realize is for a lot of bands, especially in the independent scene, how difficult it is to even just make expenses, you know, to be able to put gas in the vehicles to get to the gigs, to be able to, you know, buy new guitar strings, you know.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Is that an issue that you've always had to battle with as a band? Because on the other hand, we've also got that promise that God's going to provide for our needs. Is that a tension that you guys have had to work through?
Yeah, everything's a tension to manage, right? So we, in that case, like, I'll be honest, every project I've ever been a part of has been incredibly expensive. I have put, you know, thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars into every project I've ever been a part of. And, you know, we never talk money in a public setting, of course, as a band, but I'll say this, that God has provided for us in such a real and tangible way that at the moment, none of the guys in Havenstance are in any money to the band. The band has actually completely paid for itself, be that through discounts that were offered at music stores or discounts that were offered on merchandise, or even just different churches wanting to come alongside us, partner with us in ministry, have us out for a night of worship, and really help us out with an offering or a free will offering, that they just want to donate some money to the band to help us cover some expenses. So, you know, we rely on God for his provision every single day, and he's never let us down, so...
Now, in terms of, and now moving from that back to Koi again, in terms of it coming together for you, I found it fascinating. I had a friend of mine, a young girl that I know, talking about going to the festival, and I said, well, check out Havenstance. And she said, yeah, I'm planning to go. And as far as I know, she does not have a church or faith background at all. So you're attracting these people just on the basis of your music and that. Does that excite you guys as a band that you've got people that are coming out because they know that you're a good band?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a real blessing. It's almost surreal to think of that. You know, there are a lot of people that come out and support us who, you know, are buddies of ours from different bands or from different church scenes. And so, you know, when you're friends with somebody and they're going to be there anyway, you kind of expect to see them. But yeah, every once in a while we get people who are just sort of, we've seen them at a bunch of different shows and they've been there for a few times and they're not really connected in any way. Maybe they heard us open for one of the CD release parties we played back in April. But yeah, it's just been amazing to watch people really, really want to dive into, you know, new music from Havenstance. What are you guys up to? And just really like us as a band.
Now, has that opened up opportunities to talk to people about Christ?
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyone that we sit down and talk with, you know, it doesn't take long for the conversation to steer towards the cross. And that's, I think, due to a lot of the specific prayers that we as individuals pray and we as a band pray before and after each of our sets, that, you know, we want to help get kids' attention simply so that we can duck out of the way and show them the cross. We don't want to be these public figures who people are trying to emulate and live up to. That's mm-hmm. you know, we want to put Jesus on that platform and say, you know, this is this man, this is this amazing man who was 100% man and 100% God, who did some amazing things in this world, who loves you unconditionally. And we just want to throw that message out and show people the hope that we found, the freedom that we found in Jesus.
Do you find that fame type thing that, you know, where people are coming and just coming to see the band because you're a good band, and they sort of become fans, and you know, there's a little bit of adulation that going on? Again, is that something that you guys have to work through, either as a band or even individually?
Yeah, I mean, that's another tension to manage for sure. I don't know if I'd use the word fame just yet. It's kind of weird to think of that. But
there's some notoriety in
that. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely people who just know the band and are excited about the band. And, you know, there's one kid who comes out to different shows, and he's always got his haircut just like mine, and, you know, he's wearing outfits just like mine. And, you know, and some of these kids, you just want to sort of emulate who you are because they think you're a rock star or whatever. But, you know, it's trying to be conscious of those things and conscious of our responsibility to steer that conversation towards the cross and to be excited about the opportunity to do just that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier, too, that you just finished putting an EP together in the studio. Are you in the mix stage now of putting things together?
Oh, yes. It's that was a journey. We went into Sundown Studios in Guelph with Jordan Valeriot. Amazing producer, amazing engineer, and we recorded our entire new EP, five tracks, in just short of 9 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
there are some bands that spend months. doing
exactly.
One song.
Yeah. Doing just the vocal line of one song. So we were, you know, absolutely blessed in terms of time, and we just and unreal that it was all able to come together. So we're excited to hear how Jordan mixes it. He's got an amazing ear. He's just an amazing guy. If anybody needs audio mixing, go and look to Jordan. We're then sending, as soon as Jordan's done with it, we're going to send it out for professional mastering with a guy named Troy Glessner, who does all the freelance work for Solid State, Tooth & Nail, and a lot of other Christian labels. I mean, he's worked with Under Oath and Ox Burns Red, Norma Jean, a lot of our heroes.
Right.
So we're excited for it to have his touch onto our record as well.
So what's the distribution plans then?
Right now we're trying to do everything as independently as possible. We want to make sure that any move we make on that sort of front is a move that's just been blanketed in prayer. You know, if we have labels come up to us and start talking to us about distribution or about label support, that's not something that any of us are at the stage where we're saying no to it, but it's definitely something that we want to make sure that's God's plan for us and not our plan.
So you're not specifically taking the EP and sending it out to labels and saying, here we are, take a look. Not
just yet. There's a few different groups that we want to work with beforehand to see, you know, what God would end up doing with this thing. We're definitely going to be sending it out to as many Christian radio stations as we can get a hold of. I'm told there are about 300 across Canada alone. So we've got the master list, and we're going to start hitting the pavement and making those moves. We've already had a meeting with World Vision International and hopefully sitting down with Compassion as well soon and talking about their artist programs. But there's a lot of stuff that we can do sort of independently. Me being a cancer patient means that I've got a lot of free time throughout my week. So I'm able to sort of manage and book the band and do that kind of stuff myself, even be with you here tonight. So it's very cool that I've got the free time to do that stuff, and God's blessed me with some abilities in that area. So it's been good to be able to promote the stuff ourselves.
Well, listen, we've got about a minute left here. If someone's interested in Haven Stance and finding out a bit more about you guys, what's the best way for them to do that?
We are at www.havenstance.com. We're on Facebook. We're on MySpace. We're on all the social networking, Twitter as well. So just jump on, search for us, check us out. I hope that somebody out there is listening and is excited about what's going on. And if there are any drummers out there in the world, we are still searching for our permanent drummer. So certainly send us an email, info@havenstance.com, and we'll set up a time to chat.
Great. Mikey, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, man.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Mikey Fisher. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selahministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selah13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selah Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.